Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Create, Learn, and Implement Podcast, CLI for short. I hope you guys are having a great day. I hope things are going well. You're in good health and good spirits and mentally sound. It's been a trying time, that is 100% for sure, with many things coming at us at once. So like we must, I don't know about y'all, but it's like overstimulation happening right now, but you know, all is well for me, and I hope the same for you guys. So on today's episode, I have a very, like, this conversation could have went on. It's just, you know, we were on a time limit, so you had to condense that real quick, but it was such a great conversation with the wonderful Miss Rakia Reynolds. You guys will hear more about her on the other side and, you know, explore some of the conversation that we go through, touching on a little bit of COVID and so forth. So stick around on the other side. One of my many goals in life is to impact women's lives by helping them start a business using some of the same methods I've used to start my own business. I understand starting a business can be very overwhelming, especially if you're one of those people that simply don't know what business to start. Let me help you with that process. You can reach out to me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at I Am Coyetta, or you can email me at info@coyetta.com, and let me help you create the life you want. Hello, Rakia Reynolds. Can you hear me?
Hi. Hold on. Let me just make sure my headphones are on.
Okay.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm a little tired, but I'm good. Goodness. Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well. Can you hear me?
Yes. You're very clear.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. I don't even have time to fangirl. So I'm gonna just jump right in. Everyone, this is Rakia Reynolds, the CEO of Blue Sky or Sky Blue Media. Mm-hmm. Everyday Jane, fan of your brand, mother, wife. Did I miss anything?
No, I think that's it. Mom, wife, business owner. No, I think you got it all.
Awesome. Awesome. How do you have time for it all? tell me a little bit about, you know, how you became to be a PR maven.
Well, I would say, one, to answer the first question of how do I have time to do it all? Well, yeah. I'm tired. So that was one thing. I'm honest. You know, I was in a conversation last week with a bunch of communicators, and one person said, you can do anything, but you can't do everything. And so I err on the side of trying to do everything, and it catches up with me every once in a while. So today is one of those days where I feel like it has caught up to me. But to give you a little bit of my backstory, after I graduated from college, I worked in higher education actually for about 5 years. And originally, my track was to work in the world of psychology. So I was studying behavior, human behavior, mostly human behavior side of things, a lot of disorders. So a lot of my work was really just studying people. And then I'd always considered myself a creative. So I started working for MTV Networks, a production company. Brought me on to be an associate producer. And sorry for the noise. I have three kids. You know, you said mother. So I have three kids in the background. They are also
schooling. That's not a problem. My five of mine are downstairs somewhere.
So. Oh, okay. So they are in the background talking amongst themselves in the next room. But so I worked in higher education for about 5 years. Studied psychology and then international business and marketing, really focused on this counseling psychology track, and then got into the world of television, was hired by a production company who was producing a teen scripted drama series for MTV Networks. And I became an associate producer for them, and then started to get into working for TLC and Discovery Health, and working essentially as a producer and then working on the development side of things. And when TV started to take a turn for where I wasn't, I guess, the most enthusiastic, and things the landscape started to change. At one point, I was laid off from everything, and decided to take destiny into my own hands and started to create. Looking back sort of retrospectively, I was looking back at, all of the things that I had done in television and, some of the freelance projects that I got to do and working in like fashion magazines, and decided to start my own agency sort of on my own terms, doing something that I loved doing, which was telling stories. But at this point, or when I decided to do it, it was telling stories for other people and telling stories on their behalf.
Awesome. And by the way, thank you so much for taking the time to get on here to speak with me. I understand tiredness 100%. And I love that you reinvented yourself in that way, because you have to learn how to pivot in this life, especially with what's happening now. So with all that in mind, how did you go about building your clothing brand, Everyday Jane?
Yeah, so that was actually, and I do believe that, there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there that have, lots of different businesses. For me, it was more of an organic, hey, how does this fit into my lifestyle? So there was one time when I was on a plane traveling to, yet another meeting. And I know, like, we're in the midst of a pandemic, so this is all so relevant now. But I remember traveling and wanting some sort of like, travel gear or protective gear for my travels, and decided to create a travel pod some years back. And so the travel pod was this pod that covered my face while I was traveling, planes, trains, and automobiles. And it had a carbon filter mask to help with, protecting from allergens, bad breath, all kinds of things. Because, I've, been, and I'm sure you have as well, you're sitting next to someone on a plane and, someone is yawning or they're breathing and you're like, oh my gosh, I just want my own air. So I brought on a creative a partner to help to really construct this travel pod for me. And originally we had called the brand Plain Jane because I had the idea while I was on a plane, and we wanted the designs to be very simple, and versatile, but designed for the everyday woman whose life, was on the go. So I was taking, the lifestyle that I had built at Sky Blue Media and working in the world of communications and storytelling and producing content, and, having to have a lot of travel go along with, my agency. I created an apparel line, as a product of my lifestyle. So we turned it into, we changed the name to Everyday Jane because, for us, it's about like that everyday wear, dressing it up and dressing it down, keeping it versatile, and launched a capsule collection with HSN with 13 pieces. They all sold out the first, the first two times we were on HSN. And HSN then invited us back, and we created another collection. So we have this relationship where we, every time that there is a, sort of a new iteration of life or a way that we're moving, we create a new collection and we collaborate and distribute it through HSN.
Awesome. I feel like you're ahead of your time, Rakia, Miss Rakia
You know what? Sometimes I have to be honest. A lot of people will say, hey, Rakia, years ago when I first started my agency, people were, saying, oh, you're, a trendsetter and a forecaster. And I would always say, those are, people that go to school for those things and really pay attention to numbers and trends. But I will say, I do think intuitively there's something, and it could be, from studying psychology or studying marketing and then working in the world of communications and television and magazines. I do think that folks become experts when they consume. I do consume a lot, reading, seeing, interacting with people. So I pay attention. I listen to what people are doing. And so in creating this travel pod, several years ago. We launched it last year, did really, really well. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. actually still on the Everyday Jane Instagram. So people could timestamp it and go back and say, oh my gosh, we see that this launched last year. It was actually to avoid having to wear a mask. And now we're in this air of, you know, protective gear being sort of the new athleisure and way of life because of what we have to go through mm-hmm. to protect ourselves. But yes, I created the travel pod and launched it. I created it several years ago, launched it last year mm-hmm. as a new way for people to sort of go through life and go through being on the go. So we're actually thinking about a new way to bring it back in another year or two to adapt to everyone's lifestyle.
Awesome. Yeah, you definitely are a trendsetter. You think outside the box. You have a new way of doing things because based on your, you know, how you run your PR company, I would say that. You deal with celebrity clients as well as brands. And so, you know, what is one thing that surprises you when it comes to their work ethic?
You know, I wouldn't say that anything really surprises me. We are so blessed at Sky Blue Media yeah. to be able to work with such strong and powerful, you know, brands and individuals. I mean, we separate our work into people, products, and places. Yeah. So yeah. I do think that, you know, we already get to work with exceptional people and some of the greatest legends of our time. And so for me, it's being able to work with those legends and communicating and executing on their vision. I think we work with a lot of visionaries and mm-hmm. it's great to work with people that have, you know, it's great to work with people that have a vision and a mission and something that they stand for and things that they value. And then we are able to say from a creative standpoint and from a marketing standpoint, here's how we can execute and operate off of that vision.
Awesome. I love that. Now, would you also say that the progress or the process, sorry, of is the same for dealing with individuals and a company, or is there like a difference?
I would say there is a difference. I mean, I think what is very unique to Sky Blue Media is that we don't do we don't sort of look at a cookie cutter approach to anything that we do. Yeah. I think, you know, there are fundamental sort of structural marketing principles and ways to operate, but we really do take a bespoke and tailored approach to every single client, which is why we keep our client aboard much like a juried exhibit. So, you know, folks have to be curated and selected to be on our client board because, you know, our team, you know, we have a small but mighty team, and I like to be able to work in some capacity with every client. Mm-hmm. And since mm-hmm. I can't scale myself, I mean, I think the way that I built the agency was never to be, you know, having 100 clients and all of these names on a whiteboard and, you know, this account and that account and that account, but it was more of a, how do we curate, you know, folks that we want to work with over the long haul, to work with them on their business branding and, you know, essentially, you know, storytelling and, you know, what some people may deem, you know, bragging. I would never say we're braggadocious, you know, right. We like alliteration. So like business branding and bragging sounds good.
Yeah.
But it is storytelling and being the truth serum to a lot of the folks that we work with. I mean, you know, working with, you know, celebrities and entertainers will definitely be different from a municipality mm-hmm. or a financial institution or a major nonprofit that we're working with. I mean, for us, it really comes down to what is the story and how are we going to tell the story? So if we're place branding with a city, that might look like, you know, a collective of, you know, hundreds of voices right. in working with, you know, working on what an identity looks like and what one unified message looks like. If we're working with, you know, one of the most recognizable people, you know, in the world, we may say, here's the sentiment and the conversation. And, you know, here's the data around what conversations around you look like. Here's what you want to do. And here's how we can streamline that communication process to serve fans, followers, and of course, you know, your vision as the celebrity or, you know, the C-suite executive that we're working with.
So it's fair to say that you're very hands-on with your company.
I am. And I think, you know, we're in our celebratory 10th year, and I'd always envisioned,
awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Being hands-on. I mean, you know, I think that there's I'm a natural creative, and, you know, I wanted to be able to essentially create, but create with people. And so I think that there is a little bit of an artistry to what we do. And then on the marketing, you know, on the marketing side, because you do have to have both in this world of creative communications, you know, the creative, but then you have to have someone that also knows the sort of the marketing or the intelligence side of how to technically execute things. And so, you know, some folks will say right brainers and left brainers. You know, I've always been told that I was a right brainer and left brainer, but to effectively, you know, create what we need to create, you know, I have a team of individuals who are right brainers and left brainers, you know, creatives and marketers. Some people wear both hats, some people wear one hat and are really specialized in, you know, what they do. But I do think that I like to be hands-on. So I am hands-on with most of our clients. I would say all of our clients.
Awesome. I love that, you know, because sometimes when you're in those spaces, you never get to see the face, right? You see the team, but never the face. So I love that. Now, as a Black woman who exists in this space, what kind of obstacles have you faced?
The same that, you know, that we are all facing. I mean, in the very beginning, it was, you know, I wanted to build this big agency in the very, very beginning, and I didn't get any funding. I had no access to any capital and no access to capital to hire people or to have, you know, the right technology to fuel and empower my business. So everything was built brick by brick, but I think there's something to be said with building things brick by brick, because then you are in the inner workings and the nuanced sort of ways that things are built. And it's sort of similar to how homes were built, you know, many years ago, as opposed to how they're built right now. There's a difference in the character. There's a difference in the structure and the small details of crown moldings and things like that. I look at a lot of modern homes and it's like, okay, this is great. You know, it's like a nice, you know, like a box, and you can turn it into your canvas. But I do think that when you are, if you're someone that is stuck in the nuances of building things brick by brick, there's more character that comes into play. I also think that, you know, there's still instances, racism is alive and well, you know, like there, you know, I think a lot of folks feel like we've made progress, but there's also still so much to be done. You know, I still have to fight in rooms in which, you know, I've already made my case study, you know, like I've done the work. You've seen the people that I've worked with, you've seen the campaigns, you know, that myself and my agency have come up with, you've seen the awards that we've won, you've seen sort of the adversities that we've overcome. And there's still those times when I'm sitting on the phone with someone and I really do have to overtly advocate for the work. And I know, you know, sometimes when I'm having these discussions with people, well, why is this happening? And why is this happening? I'm like, well, it is what it is. So I do sometimes feel these moments of deflation where it's just like, you know, we have to work so hard, but, you know, I would never want to be anything other than a Black woman. I feel like, you know, we are the undisputed champions, you know, like we do the work, we're creative, we're used to, and again, just having those moments of adversity, I do think that it brings a different level of creativity to some folks, and some folks possess those things and some folks don't, but I'm, I, you know, I am always enthusiastic, excited, honored, and blessed to be a Black woman.
Absolutely. Amen to that. No, I didn't have this question on my radar, but in speaking with you, it just kind of popped into my mind. So hope you don't mind. How would you counsel someone who looks like you that's trying to get into that same space as yourself?
Well, I would never say counsel. I think, like mentor and guide is
Yeah, like that.
probably something, yeah, I would err on the side of, but I would say, I think there's so many people out there now because we are in such a vocal, we're in such a vocal climate where people are sort of stating the facts and also creating these communities where people have conversations. When I started the agency 10 years ago and I was conceptualizing it, maybe, 11 or 12 years ago, I didn't necessarily have those communities or I didn't have access into those communities. I would say surround yourself in communities where these conversations are happening so you don't ever feel like you're going through the journey of entrepreneurship alone. Whether that's an online community that you're in or a micro community where it's a WhatsApp group where you all are, hyping each other up or just saying good morning. I have so many WhatsApp groups that I'm in, so many. I mean, between the Slack groups and the WhatsApp groups and my email box and my, just conversations, with clients, I'm like communicating all day. But to someone that is looking at becoming an entrepreneur or is in the very early stages and days of becoming an entrepreneur, I highly recommend getting into communities where there are similar conversations going on so you don't ever feel like you're doing it alone. And I do believe that collaboration, I do believe in we versus me. And so when you are operating as a we, even for the solopreneurs and the artpreneurs, it's always better to have it's always better to have collaboration and community so you're not in things alone.
Absolutely. Collaboration is the key for sure. Now, you recently had a webinar, about the value of communicating, and especially during this time. How would you, how or what have you learned about the value of communicating during this time of social distancing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's so many. I mean, that's a whole, we had a whole conversation.
I
That's
got
like a
we got
an
10
hour
minutes. Let's
long.
go.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you the truncated version. Listen, I think, stating the obvious that, this is something that none of us in our lifetime have ever had to experience. And
Absolutely.
so folks are learning, leaders are learning as we go along. No one has an answer. If anyone says, this is what you should do, this is how you forecast it, I would not believe them because we're all sort of, learning what's going on, what to say, how to say it, when to say it, because the information changes day by day. At the beginning, when all of this was going on, with my team, we were operating on a, on these 5-day sprints, week by week, planning week by week, and coming from a standpoint of like being able to, plan things out 3 to 6 months in advance. Now communication is changing day to day and hour by hour. So I would say, in terms of how we are communicating, we have to be mindful that we're using the right language and we have to brush up on the right terminology and the lexicon. There's some language out there that is being used that we were talking last week in the summit. A lot of folks are talking about lockdown. We're on lockdown. No, we're sheltering in place, or quarantining. There are people that are in jails and prisons who are on real lockdown. So I think that the insensitivities around communications really need to be analyzed now because we have to be able to be very inclusive with our communications. Sky Blue Media, we have clients that are of the deaf community. So we've always had to utilize video conferencing and, video calls to communicate with those clients so that we can include interpreters on call. So I think that this new world has opened people up to different ways of, different ways of communicating. And so, I'm an optimist, so I always try to look at some sort of like silver lining. But because we are engaging so heavily online now, because that's, another way that, people communicate. It's like, okay, I can't do this in person. The experience and experiential, is on pause right now. So the other way to experience, the experiential side of things is to do those things online. So it's interesting to see, people engaging so heavily, people, collaborating and creating other communities or micro and sub communities of large communities like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Snapchat, and all of the main ones that we know. But I think the real communicators are in, again, those sub and micro communities that are not blasted out with so many people, because they're having these very intimate conversations amongst themselves on ways to solve problems or look at best practices or, looking at future and recovery planning. So, I mean, there are a lot of things around the communications piece. I think, in this wake of the pandemic, I also think that, media and newsmakers have to go the extra effort to be inclusive of communities that may not get all of their information, from broadcast, or may not get all of their information from a tweet or a Facebook post or an Instagram post or, someone's story. It's really going down to the nitty-gritty and nuances of grassroots marketing and speaking the same language that everyone is speaking. I see so many different communities, and at the summit that we had last week, we had a Latina journalist who was a former journalist for MSNBC. And what I love about Mariana is that she, to her community, it, she will speak, different languages. She will, her Instagram post is in English, and then she will also have a carousel where you can swipe to the next video, and she's speaking to her audience in Spanish so that they have the awareness that they need. So I think that communicators must go the extra mile to communicate with all of the people so that people feel included, and most importantly, at this time, feel informed with the correct information that's out there.
Awesome. I agree with you. So, from a PR standpoint, does that change the way you do business?
Yeah, I mean, it's all different. I mean, we're putting more emphasis on, design. We're putting more emphasis on, social and digital communications. We're putting more emphasis on, the digital side of things, where, the term, public relations has always been something that, to me, just the term, public relations, it's, communicating on behalf, communicating to the public on one's behalf. But I think that there are different ways that we are going to be communicating. I think a lot of language will change, even words like corporate social responsibility. I think, we are at a, in the world of, in my agency, instead of saying corporate social responsibility, we're saying community social responsibility, because it's more, it's more centered around community. So I think that, from the PR side, the way that we are working now is looking at how communications essentially sort of rolls out. And we've sort of looked at different ways to do that, whether it's verbal or nonverbal, whether it's visual, whether it's utilizing, our areas of expertise around color psychology and looking at how people respond to certain colors online. And it's as communicators, I would say that we are diving more into the consumer behavior side of things. Going back to some of my earlier research in psychology, my team is now looking at the consumer behavior and consumption side of things to help to inform some of our strategies. We're doing more social listening. I think, gone are the days where you're just putting out stories to put out stories. You're now using, artificial intelligence, or you're using some sort of sentiment analysis tool to help you, you know, really pull together what kinds of conversations are happening online to help you to inform your strategy. Because you can't necessarily, again, because we're all just going through this, you can't necessarily just operate off of a hunch to say, well, this looks good or this feels good.
Yeah.
No, it has to be data backed. It has to be data driven, but it also has to be able to tell a story, because that's how our brains work. Our brains work in narratives of beginnings, middles, and ends. And it's the same for storytelling. You can't just put data out without, you know, building some sort of narrative of storytelling, or people won't digest the information. We're in information overload right now. So it's really important for PR professionals and communicators to be able to distill, you know, proper pieces of information and make it snackable and digestible for people to be well informed with, you know, the things that you're trying to communicate.
Oh my goodness. I feel like we just scratched the surface, but I know we hopefully we can do this again another time. Where can we find you? We need to find you. If we need your services,
So you can just go to skybluemedia.com, SKAI blue, like the color, media.com. You can follow us on all, you know, on every sort of social media out there, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook. It's Sky Blue Media, spelled SKAI and then blue, the color of media.
Yeah.
And then myself, Rakia, Rakia, last name Reynolds. I'm at Rakia Reynolds across the board, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat, you name it.
Okay. Rakia Reynolds, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. And as I said, hopefully we can do this again.
Absolutely. Be well. Thank you so much.
You as well. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Imagine being able to create your own schedule. Be free from the traffic world of the 9-to-5 land. Imagine waking up and spending more time with your family. Imagine being able to start your business with little to no experience. Imagine being able to have all the resources you need to help you with that process. Well, if this is something you want for yourself, your imagination can become your reality. Reach out to me at I Am Coyetta on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can also email me at info@coyetta.com. And let's turn that dream into your reality. Your business is closer than you think. Don't forget to like, comment, share. Everything you do matters to me. Everything you do matters to us. Everything you do counts. And so those things really keep this podcast going. So thank you all again, and enjoy the rest of your day. Until next time.